Nate, do you know where his helmet is?
He's asking for it, and I've looked everywhere.
I don't know. Something at school he won't say, he won't come out of his room, and now he says he doesn't even want to go trick-or-treating.
I know. Okay. Thank you. Just get here.
Get ready. It's almost time for the Halloween parade.
You're supposed to knock. Go away!
Mom says you won't say what happened. Did someone say something?
Someone always says something!
Well, tell me what happened.
It's none of your business!
You took my day with Mom, so it is my business.
I heard Jack talking about me behind my back. He said he'd kill himself if he looked like me.
Jack Will? Isn't he the nice one?
There are no nice ones! I wish I'd never gone to school in the first place!
But you were liking school. I know you were.
I hate it, okay? I hate it!
Augie, I'm sorry, but you're not the only one who has bad days.
Bad days? Do people avoid touching you? When a person accidentally touches you, do they call it the plague?
No.
Jack Will is all I had. Just don't compare your bad days at school to mine, okay?
Okay. Hey, did you notice that Miranda doesn't come around anymore?
What?
You didn't. Shocker. Yeah, she went away to camp this summer, and now she doesn't like me anymore.
Why?
Because school sucks, and people change. So if you want to be a normal kid, Augie, then those are the rules. So, let's go trick-or-treating, okay? Because right now, we're each other's best friends.
Really?
Yes. So, come on. I'll let you have all my Halloween candy.
I don't know if you've seen that movie. It's a really good one. About a little boy who looks different. And decides he doesn't want to live his life in isolation, but people are mean to him because he looks different. There's always somebody looking to be the gatekeeper. Somebody who wants to keep someone else away from something. In school, it was whatever cool group existed, I suppose, but that never goes away, this idea of people who push other people away because it makes them feel like they're closer to the center of something that matters. This is a series. I turned 50 last week, and I want to thank the congregation for really a nice party and a celebration. I thank you all for that, all the kind notes and the gifts. And this is a series where I talk about four things I've learned from Jesus in 30 years. And this week, I want to talk about being nice. My best moments as a pastor was when I was nice, and my worst moments was when I wasn't. We have two stories here, two stories about women. One is a woman who is a part of the wrong culture and ethnicity and religion. She's a resident of Tidon and Syre, which is Phoenicia is really, it's not as much a place as it is a lot of different places, a bunch of cities that are kind of tied together. And they exist kind of around the Mediterranean. The Phoenicians were seafaring people. They made their living doing shipping. They were merchants mainly. And so Phoenicia, or Tyre and Sidon, is really just north of Galilee. And so Jesus, being from Galilee, would have encountered Phoenicians all of his life. They were not highly regarded, as were most everybody who were not Jewish in that time and place, not highly regarded in Israel. They were generally called pagans. Some would even refer to them as being little better than dogs. And so the reality is that when she comes to bring to because she hears that Jesus is a healer, and she has a little girl who is sick, she's on the outside looking in. And we always want to create some sort of velvet rope so that there are people on the outside looking in one way or another. And so that's the situation for her. She's on the outside looking in, and supposedly the message of the gospel and the power that it contains is not supposed to be for her. I'm certain that the disciples, who were told at different times throughout the Gospels, I'm sure that they were trying to keep those who were, they didn't feel were worth Jesus' time, they were trying to keep them away from him. So because his time and his energy was valuable, but somehow she was able to worm her way through. And it's funny, so many still in the church this day feel like it's their duty to push other people away, to keep other people outside of the bounds of holiness and acceptance, outside of the community. My denomination's going to fight about it next weekend. I'm going to preach next Sunday. I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to drive to St. Louis, and I'm going to watch my denomination fight about this. Who's allowed to be a part of the denomination and who isn't allowed to be a part of the denomination? And this is going to be based around the issue of human sexuality. That figures into these scriptures too, doesn't it? We have the woman who's kept away from Jesus and told that his message is not for her because of her race and her ethnicity and her culture. And then we have another woman who's pushed to the bounds. Now, this is a woman who's Jewish, but she's pushed out to the bounds because she's an adulterer. And we don't know what that means exactly. We don't know if she is a prostitute, a serial prostitute. We don't know if she's just engaged in a relationship outside of a marriage. And in turn, it's been discovered, and now there are people who are going to do what they need to do to make sure that others in the community know that what she's done is not appropriate. And they're going to put her outside of the community in the most permanent way that you can. They're going to stone her to death. Stoning is really interesting as a means of killing somebody. At what point, if you have 200 people that are throwing stones at somebody, at what point do you peg the one person who caused that death? When that person finally dies, who's responsible? Which one person? At which point did the one rock too many hit the person in the head or whatever and kill them, and then they died? So that's the great thing about stoning, is that there's some sort of degree of that keeps you arm's length away from holding any of the blame. Because I'm just one of 200 people throwing stones. Don't know if you've ever been in a crowd where they were throwing stones at your vehicle. It happened to me in Haiti many, many years ago. One of the first years I went. It's not a fun feeling to have rocks whipped at your van or at your SUV. But in both instances, Jesus encounters women. And women, let's face it, women in that time and place are on the outside looking in, as often women still are today. They're on the outside looking in, even in the temple itself. The design of the temple, you have the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem. It's the one place that the chief priest can go once a year on high holy occasions and offer an offering to God. And then outside of the Holy of Holies, you had the court of the men, kind of the inner court. And only men are allowed to enter into that inner court, that space that is as close to God as you can actually be without being in the direct presence. And then outside of the court of the men was the court of the women. And that was the space for them. And then on the outside of the court of the women was the court of the Gentiles. And when Jesus took out all the merchants and the moneylenders in the temple, they were set up in the court of the Gentiles. This was the place where space had been made for everybody, but it was still tiered. There was still a system. There was still a structure. Some people were allowed to be closer to God than others. In every instance that I can think of, Jesus never refuses somebody who comes to him looking for healing or hope or help or deliverance or guidance. Jesus never tells somebody that he doesn't have enough time for them. I mean, we get that moment, it's that interesting exchange between he and the Phoenician woman, the dog, right? These are the dogs that live north of Galilee. I'm sure Jesus would have heard that racial epithet all of his life, just like some of the derogatory names that we have for people who look different or act different than we do. And so here's this woman, and it sounds like Jesus isn't going to help her because she's not Jewish. She's not part of the faithful. And she takes that term and she turns it around. Well, even if I'm a dog, a master will allow crumbs to fall on the floor, and the dog will eat them up. And so, if I'm a dog, that's okay, I'll take the crumbs. Whatever crumbs of grace you have, Jesus, I'm willing to take them. And everybody's amazed. I don't know about you. Anybody got a dog in their house that really kind of runs the house? We got a dog named Albert. We have to take the food on the floor away from him because he has a sensitive stomach. If you let him eat a little bit of a hot dog, you'll be cleaning it up the next morning, and it's pretty nasty. But we had this little dog, God rest her soul, her name was Brandy. She had an iron stomach, and she was an expert at hovering around your feet, waiting for something to fall on the floor. She also had this way about her where she could tell who was an easy touch, and she would come to that person, and she always knew that they would feed her something. Dad. Can I give the dog a little bit of bacon? Can I give the dog a little bit of hot dog? You were one of Brandy's favorite people, Father. Dogs are supposed to be on the outside looking in. How many of you have grieved over the loss of a dog? Maybe grieved even harder than over some of the people that you knew in your life. Jesus, this gets turned around, and so Jesus says, be nice. If you encounter somebody who looks different, talks different, dresses different, eats different kinds of foods, wears different kinds of clothes, comes from a different part of the world, doesn't quite fit in, maybe has even practiced a different kind of faith or no faith all of their life, lead with being nice. Start there. And when it comes to the woman who engaged in sexual sin, And make no bones about it, there's no room for debate in this particular instance. Adultery is, an adulterer is not a term that people want to easily wear in their life. And it's not something that they really want to take forward. But it's Jesus who says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. Notice how he said he. That's not a gender inclusive pronoun. It's not he and she. It's not they. It's he. For it is men who have gathered around the women. It is men who have taken it upon themselves to enforce the law in the way that they feel is appropriate. He who is without sin cast the first stone. And everybody, maybe you can't be directly blamed for somebody dying in a stoning, because how is it hard? How hard? Because of how hard it is to pin it on you specifically. But who wants to be the person that throws the first stone? I guess things are rolling when they know good and well there's some sin on their balance sheet also. And so Jesus once again says, be nice. Lead with being nice. Particularly if people are coming looking for healing and hope, the healing and hope that only Jesus can bring. Lead with being nice. Start there. You know, in the early Methodist movement, one of the goals that they set for the people who were Methodists was that even though the class meetings were where people would come together and they would talk about their faith, even though those class meetings were demanding, the idea was that the more that you demanded out of yourself, the greater you would be able to organize your life and the greater capacity you would have to be able to welcome others. Even the people who were furthest away from you. Even the people who made you feel the most uncomfortable. So that if and when the time came that they were ready and willing to come to Jesus, they would know that there was a friendly face waiting there welcoming them. Not a guard at the gate there to keep them away, but somebody who just through kindness had already established that it would be okay to come to the Savior, even though they were people who had committed destructive and terrible sins. Thank God there is forgiveness for each one of us in this place. Thank God that our pasts are not held against us. Thank God that there is always a better way. A way for that woman. A way for the woman who had been caught in her sin. A way for the woman who was considered nothing but a dog on the outside. That there is a better way that Jesus opens up for us. And a vision of a world that's supposed to function like this. A world that's supposed to function with people thinking first how they can be nice. You get burned sometimes. I remember the first time I ever really got burned for some helping somebody out. I mean, really got burned. For some reason, I had money in my wallet. I was working here years and years and years ago before all this was built. Guy came in off the street, had a story about needing money to get somewhere, and that he wanted to borrow it, and he would be sure to pay it back. He had all the right lines. He showed me all the right identification. I gave him the money in my wallet, and I never saw him again. And that happens. Makes you a little wiser. Makes you a little more prudent as you go forward. But we can't become so jaded and so cynical. It can't become such a part of our identity that we're on the inside looking out. And that we have this privileged place that can't become such a part of who we are that it begins to function in such a way we become the people that stand between those who need Jesus and Jesus. Jesus only has words of condemnation for those who do that. Go to your Google and put in seven woes in Scripture, and you can see what Jesus has to say about those who seek to keep others away from God, regardless of where they have been in their life, regardless of the sin that they carry forward. Jesus says that if you attempt to try and maintain the same kinds of biases in others and in their religious practice, if you try and make people a disciple of yourself to be bigoted in the same way, you make them twice the son or daughter of hell. Friends, as disciples of Jesus, it is important, essential, that as we encounter those whom we encounter in this world, no matter how uncomfortable they may make us, no matter how angry they may have made us or how deeply they may have hurt us, no matter how we were raised to believe that certain people were inside and other people were out, we cannot allow these kinds of hurts and pains and hang-ups to drive us in terms of our spiritual journey. God has something so much better for you and for me. Is there anybody in your life who, when you visualize them, or is there any group of people, or is there any specific nationality or people who practice a certain religion that you have carved out as an acceptable person or group that you could hate and disdain? As a part of your journey to become a faithful disciple of Jesus, is there anybody if there is go read the seven woes